I've had a book on my desk for a little while. It's called The Liber Christo Method, a Field Manual for Spiritual Combat by Dr. Dan Schneider, who was a former U.S. Army attack helicopter pilot, combat veteran, and then afterwards became a professor of theology. And he's a part of the team of Father Chad Ripperger, who is an exorcist. And so he wrote this for spiritual guerrilla warfare, for the spiritual battle that we're all in this life. And he uses Robert Rogers' Rules for Rangers. This is 1757 that this guy came up with 28 rules for military battle that are still used today by the U.S. Rangers. So the rules are so good, they're still used today. So Schneider applies these in a spiritual kind of a way. And we think of Ephesians chapter 6, where St. Paul talks about putting on the armor of Christ and the shield and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet and the foot gear and so forth. And today's scripture passages kind of talk about the end times and those military kinds of things, like St. Michael in the first reading, who's the warrior archangel and fights for the kingdom of God. So Schneider uses the story of David when he was still just a young man fighting Goliath with the slingshot and the five stones. And a lot of people have used that as a symbol of what do the five stones represent. So I'll just give you Schneider's five stones. The first one, he says, is the renunciation of evil influences itself. Negative patterns of thinking, negative patterns of behavior, which are sins that we need to get rid of in our lives. Sometimes the bad things that happen to us can leave negativity within us, and we need to get rid of that. So he speaks about redemptive suffering, how every experience in life can make us bitter or it can make us better. So we have to choose, our willpower has to choose to make ourselves better, even from the negative things that do happen to us, rather than getting bitter. And he uses St. Maria Goretti, the young girl that forgave her attacker and even helped for his conversion from heavenly glory. He talks about one of the rules is you don't sit down to eat without posting sentries around yourself, because your enemy is always looking for your vulnerable positions and times when you're not looking. So you always have to have a guard out. Keep your spiritual guard up. Keep your emotions in check. So he says, don't go over these negative things of the past, because then the devil can stir up those emotions again and cause havoc in our lives. And another rule is you always have to have a ranger buddy at your six. What does that mean? 6 o'clock. So that means you're back. You got to have a buddy at your looking after your back. And so he says that's the good guardian angel that we all have. Angels go where they are asked to go. So we need to keep praying for our guardian angel to continue to watch over us. Demons go where they are not resisted. And so that means vice, sin. We have to resist them, otherwise they come to us. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will take flight, but we do have to resist him. Another lesson is holy alliances, such as marriage and friendships and parents with your kids and teachers and students, employers, employees. But the unholy alliances are bad company that corrupt morals. So we have to avoid those, especially sins with other people or sins against other people. Those things we need to get rid of. So that's the first stone, evil influences. Number two is conversion and forgiveness. And he talks about the impediment of unforgiveness in our lives. Remember, David put on King Saul's armor, and David was still just a boy, a teenager, and King Saul was a full, mature man. So all this armor was too heavy for David. So he had to just get rid of it and chunk it. And so he says, unforgiveness is like that. It wears us down and it keeps us from being able to fight effectively. It makes us vulnerable. So we need forgiveness for all things. And we need what are called force multipliers. In battle, you want something that multiplies your force against your enemy. And one of those is the Blessed Mother Mary. And he says, cleverly, she's a 12-star general. I don't think they have 12-star generals in the military, but she is a 12-star general because it talks about her in the book of Revelation, the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And that is a reference to our Blessed Mother Mary, so we need her on our fighting side, devotion to her. Third stone is confession. And he talks about if vice is trailing you, if sin is trailing you, then you need to circle back and ambush the vice with a virtue. So that is a military tactic. If somebody's trailing you, you secretly go out left or right, you circle back around behind them, you ambush them. And we do that with living the virtues. And he says we have to practice guerrilla warfare because that is best used when you're fighting a superior enemy. And in this world, we can say that evil is the superior enemy because of this fallen world's nature. And so guerrilla warfare, you know, hiding behind trees, laying low, those kinds of things that like the Indians practice against the British who are out in the open field with red coats on, easily seen, standing up. That was their way of doing it, easy to be picked off. So you got to limit their effectiveness by their superior numbers by guerrilla warfare. So he uses the sacraments as a way of fighting this guerrilla warfare. It's not retreating, but it's attacking in a different direction. So remember, David told Goliath, we do not fight by sword and spear, but by the power of God. So Schneider says, the slingshot is like baptism. The first stone is confirmation, that sacrament that we have to become soldiers for Christ. Then you need incendiary weapons, weapons that create fire. Remember, the archers had the arrows that were flaming. And he says, that's the Holy Eucharist. That's the Holy Orders that helps us to have the Holy Eucharist. That's the theology of sacrifice where we unite our sufferings to that of Jesus. And confession, he says, is like posting sentinels around you so that when half of the group is sleeping, the other half has to stay awake. Your night guard, that is confession. And Father Amorth, who was an exorcist, did thousands of exorcisms, said one good confession is worth 100 exorcisms. So we tend to think, oh, exorcism is so this great, powerful thing, and it certainly is, but one good confession is so much better. So we have that available to us so often, so take advantage of that. Holy matrimony is another force multiplier when couples offer their sufferings for each other and for their children. And beware of the devil who always looking for that crack in the door, your vulnerabilities, trying to get in between you and cause division and fighting and so forth. Kick him out and stay strong. Look at yourselves as a team, and you're fighting against this other force outside of you. The fourth stone is that of how power and authority work in the kingdom of God. David had to get rid of Saul's armor, and he took up his staff and then the slingshot. So the staff is the power and the authority of the shepherd. It's the authority of God. We all have to be under the authority of God because the demons also follow the rules that God has established, the natural law and then the supernatural law that God has given to us. And whenever we pray, the demons go through a checklist. They say, number one, does this person have the authority to pray this particular prayer? Number two, does this person have the merit? Are they in the state of grace? Number three, what do the words themselves say? Because words have meaning, they signify something, and they call about what they say. And so we have to pray correctly. And remember, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. He gave them power and authority to cast out the demons. Then he sent out the 72 disciples. And the bishops and the priests and deacons have come from there. Spouses, you have authority over each other. Parents, you have authority over your children, bosses in the workplace and so forth, all rightful authority. But so everybody has to stay in their lane. And the demons know when people are in their lanes and when they're getting out. For example, Acts chapter 19. In the Old Testament, there were methods for exorcisms. But in the New Testament, Acts chapter 19, it has to come from Jesus our Lord. And I had forgotten about this passage where they have these seven Jewish brothers and they hear Paul casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And so they try to do it themselves. and the demons jump upon them and they have to run for their lives. And the demons also said, we know Jesus, we know Paul, but who are you? See, they didn't have the proper authority to use the name of Jesus for these exorcisms. They were not, they are ordained and commissioned by our Lord. That's the fourth stone. The fifth stone is that of prayer and weapons and tactics. And the devil, always looking for our vulnerabilities, we have intellect and will, and that has to control our life. Below that are their memories and our emotions, and at the lowest part are our appetites and our instincts. And what the devil wants to do is invert that. Let your appetites run wild, your instincts run wild. Let them overcome your emotions and your imagination and obliterate your thinking power, your intellect, and your willpower. That's the way the devil works. So we have to make sure that we are in control of the lower faculties. And holiness of life is the way of doing that. Another rule of Rogers is to let the enemy come close before you fire your gun at them, so that you can be more accurate, not from too far of a distance. And so Schneider uses this to talk about being specific in prayer. And that's to be accurate in your prayer, what you are praying for. And he says, a clean soul and habitual prayer life makes for a spiritual sharpshooter. That you can be more effective in your prayers by doing that. He talks about adoration of the Blessed Sacrament being so powerful. The rosary is a battering ram. And the angels and the saints is a spiritual army. The sacramentals, like archers on the top of the wall over a city, looking to see when the enemy is coming. These are blessed holy water, blessed salt, blessed crucifixes, holy images, statues, and so forth. All of these kinds of things that help to ward off evil. G.K. Chesterton said, the true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, his enemy, but because he loves what's behind him, his family, his country that he's fighting for. And so the same thing for us. We don't want to spend our life worrying and thinking about the evil, right? We want to know that it exists, but we want to be fighting because of what we love. We love our church. We love our own soul, the souls of our family members and of God's people, the kingdom of God. We love what is good. And Churchill in 1940, when they were fighting against Hitler and Nazism, which was raging and so seemed so powerful at the time and was, he said to the parliament, what I can promise you is blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Our aim, it is victory. Victory in spite of terror. Victory at all costs. Victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory, there is no survival. And so, whether I like it or not, we're in the spiritual warfare. We're in the battle, and we want to be successful. And so we have to use all of these stones that the Lord has given us for our spiritual slingshot so that we can defeat even Goliath in our lives, embedding that stone in the forehead of Goliath and defeating evil around us. And then the kingdom is truly ours. Amen.